Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you want to design a marathon training program or you're curious what planets are visible in tonight's sky, Meta AI has the answers. It can also summarize your class notes, visualize your ideas, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.
The all-new season of Futurama is streaming on Hulu.
That's great,
but I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama.
That's the best damn show I ever saw.
New episodes Mondays, streaming only on Hulu.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is Monday, March 18th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I have to apologize to everyone. I was really planning to do this podcast and the article yesterday, even Saturday night. It was Tout Wars weekend. Scott Chu was in town. He slept on my couch Saturday night. We had this fantastic event Saturday night. Still can't believe what happened there. That is blows my mind. I cannot thank everyone enough for that. But truly, I'm shook by it. But it meant essentially that I got home very late. I had my Tout Wars draft at 10 a.m. in the city, and I had to eat something beforehand, and I just didn't have time to do this podcast in the article. So then I thought, okay, I'll do it after Tout Wars. But then I had to, I had another event after this, and then I had to go out to dinner with Danielle Salinger and Justin Mason. Oh no, woe is me. And long story short, I was just so exhausted, couldn't do it. So I'm doing double duty today. This podcast is going to come out. You're going to see also around 2 o'clock or so, the other podcast, and the article already came out for Saturday's games. And you're going to see the ones for Sunday's games later this afternoon. Sorry. I apologize. We got to get to it. We're going to do it, and let's get to it. So we have news. It's probably going to be the same news in the other podcast as well. I'll say anything that is new from that, from this to that in the next couple hours. I'm sure there will be something. But for right now, Atlanta has optioned Bryce Elder and Oscar Noah to AAA. Why is this news? It means that Reynaldo Lopez is the number 5 for Atlanta officially. Oh my, this is incredible. His first start of the year is against his former squad, the White Sox. Yes, you want to start Reynaldo Lopez for that. And I encourage everybody, if he's available in your 12-teamer, you should go after it. If it's a 10-teamer, what you can do is not pick him up, because I don't think that he needs to be there in a 10-teamer yet. However, you can go after something else the opening weekend. And then if you don't like it, you can get Reynaldo Lopez for that game either on Wednesday or Thursday. I don't know which one it is. It's one of those two. You can go off and get Reynaldo Lopez. Why do I like him? Four-seamer is a really good, strong pitch. It has a lot of good pitch shape metrics to it, including its height-adjusted VAA, which he does try to go upstairs with. He can go 96 on the fastball. It has been 94 sitting there, and I hope he gets it back to like 95 or so, like sitting. But we have seen that get pushed up to 97 or something like that, which is great. And then the real question has been, can he get his secondaries for strikes? He has looked at like he can this spring. And then you throw in the fact that it's Atlanta. This is the best team context you could dream of. They're going to push him at least 5 innings in these starts, which means a lot of wins, especially against the White Sox here. This is such a fun pick to make. It's one of those that doesn't seem as volatile as some of the others you might be going for in worse team contexts. So I'm a huge fan of Reynaldo Lopez at this point. I got him in Tout Wars yesterday as a spec ad for this. I got him in my Legacy League. I got him like, I want to say like half of my leagues right now. And I'm a huge fan of it. I hope you guys get excited as well. Josiah Gray and Zach Wheeler are both the opening day starters for the Nationals and Phillies respectively. Nothing really changes there. It is a little surprising that it's Josiah Gray, not Mackenzie Gore or Patrick Corbin. I don't really care about Josiah. Obviously, we care about Zach Wheeler. Sonny Gray will not be ready for opening day. It doesn't mean that he's not going to be in that opening rotation. That is, he could be the fifth in time. Honestly, if he's on the IL, it can be kind of wonderful. We didn't really expect 180 innings from Sonny Gray anyway. I know it doesn't quite work like that, he loses it now. That means he has them in September. All I'm saying is that you get the extra roster spot the first week, and in some cases, it's so nice to have it. But of course, Sonny Gray, you wanted to be there for opening day. He's not going to. It's unfortunate. If you see that red mark in the draft room and all of a sudden you see Sonny Gray fall some rounds, no. Go get Sonny Gray. Treat it as if he's pretty much healthy. It's fine. Marlins are considering Max Meyer as their fifth starter in the rotation, with Yuri Perez, Braxton Garrett, and Edward Cabrera all on the mend. I don't really think they should, personally, because when Max Meyer shows up to the majors, I'm very much of the opinion that you should not be dancing around with your top prospects. That is, when Max Meyer makes it into the Marlins rotation, he should stay there and not be used as a tool for the moment. So with Garrett and Cabrera likely returning before the end of April, if not by mid-April, Max Meyer would be the one that would get the boot, I would think, not Ryan Weathers. And considering it's two guys who could be returning like that, then all of a sudden, why do that? And you have, like Yonny Chirinos and Devin Smeltzer and Brian Hoeing, who can just kind of make that start or two work in the meantime, and don't do this to Max Meyer. But pay attention. If Max Meyer is in that rotation, that's a big deal. You have Gavin Stone officially as the fifth rotation spot for the Dodgers. We know this. We knew this. It's fine. He gets the Giants the first game of the year. So I'm all for taking a chance on that. Like Reynaldo Lopez, good team context. I don't like his fastball as much as Reynaldo Lopez's, but it's a very good changeup. And as long as the slider is working and the four-seamer isn't crushed, Gavin Stone, yeah, it should be fine. I'm all for having him. I just don't really think the ceiling is that high. Brandon Williamson is dealing with shoulder soreness, and it doesn't really matter much. We didn't expect him inside the rotation, but it does mean that if there is another opening, we have, I think, Nick Martinez as the SP6 right now, assuming that Lodolo is number 5. He's going to go on April 10th. We talked about that before. But Nick Martinez is the one who's outside of that. So let's say Martinez is number 6. Then you have Connor Phillips likely as the 7. Chase Petty could move into the number 8 if Williamson is delayed more. But this looks like more of the normal spring training delay of shoulder soreness that we often see. So I wouldn't really lean too much into this. And we probably see Williamson as that backup behind Connor Phillips, if not even ahead of him, by mid-April or so. Bob Nightingale is now saying that he doesn't believe the Astros are going to get Blake Snell, calling him, quote, a long shot. It should be the Giants. We all know this. They should get both Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell, let's be honest. But yeah, Blake Snell, I mean, he keeps falling in drafts. It was interesting. I did Tout Wars yesterday, as I mentioned. Blake Snell in that league, because it's CBS points, which is essentially says it's only 0.5 for a strikeout, but it's a minus 1 for both a walk and a hit. And a guy that has a high whip like Blake Snell is someone who is not very valuable in that league, let alone not going a lot of innings, not getting a lot of quality starts, which, of course, that CBS points league goes, favors. In short, in that league, Blake Snell, to me, was just not someone I want to roster, believe it or not. And now we can't expect, whenever Blake Snell does sign, same with Jordan Montgomery, I know that they have been throwing on the side. I used to argue this exact thing, saying, look, they've been throwing and being ready for quote-unquote opening day. However, there's something to be said about getting game time practice, actually going against live hitters, like legitimate ones. And teams are going to be a little careful to say, look, we're going to make sure you're up to 60 pitches, 70 pitches, etc. It could be a scenario that they can start right away, but they're only going to go 50 pitches or something along those lines. I know it sounds weird. It doesn't quite make sense, because theoretically they should be good to go anyway, as long as they're just doing their routine as if it's opening day that they're going to be pitching. But yeah, what the heck? How is this still happening? It's March 18th. Let's go. Justin Verlander is progressing in his return from shoulder inflammation and is expected to face hitters, quote, in the next day or two. Imagine him to return to rotation by the end of April. And speaking also of the Astros, you have Jose Urquidy officially with a forearm muscle strain. Not good news. We don't have any sort of timeline. But JP France did throw yesterday, actually on Saturday, Saturday's games, he's going to be there in the rotation. Then you have like Renault Blanco as the number five. In the meantime, we'll talk about that in a moment. Speaking of those games, we have StatCast stuff. We have those non-StatCast games, all of them. And I'm going to talk about all this stuff, of course, after this break.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go!
With Erleada, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleada is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erleada may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erleada can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erleada is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erleada.com, CP43926-7V1.
Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you want to design a marathon training program or you're curious what planets are visible in tonight's sky, Meta AI has the answers. It can also summarize your class notes, visualize your ideas, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.
The all-new season of Futurama is streaming on Hulu.
That's great,
but I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama.
That's the best damn show I ever saw.
New episodes Mondays, streaming only on Hulu.
So Ryan Papiot went 3.2 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He actually is going upstairs with a heater. This is the thing that I was hoping the Rays would do once they acquired Papiot in the offseason. I said, look, Papiot was throwing low four seamers because the Dodgers do that and I don't get it and it drives me up the wall. But Ryan Papiot is now actually throwing high four seamers. That's good. The question now becomes, does he have enough in the rest of the repertoire with his changeup and his breaker? The changeup has always been the good pitch. It feels like it should. And four-seamer changeup like this, like classic Waka and classic Luke Weaver even, of those four-seamer and changeup approach, and 6 for 8 strikes on the slider is good. So this is more encouraging for me. However, I can't emphasize enough, I do this for those in like deeper wires, waiver wires, you can't really play this game. I played all the time in 10 and 12, where I just don't go for guys like Papiot who just have bad opening weeks. And I say this constantly, don't go for them. You're not going to start them the opening week. Just I make this the biggest thing to talk about right now as we actually are solidifying the end of our rosters before the start of the year. He's going to get Toronto, Ryan Papiot, and then he's going to get either Texas or Coors. I think it's going to be Texas because he's the SP2 and it's 4 and then 3 against the Rangers, which means the 1 and the 2 go those games. But if he's the 3, if it's Savali as the 2, then he's going to get Coors. You don't want to start Ryan Papiot for either of the first 2 games. Oh, I'm thinking of Zach Littell. I apologize. Yeah, you definitely don't want Papiot. That's the Jays, and he's going to be the SP4 or the 5. It's going to be the 4, and he's absolutely getting the Jays and then Coors. You don't want that. You just don't want that on your squad. You have Pablo Lopez, 5 innings, 4 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 6 Ks. Velocity was good. It was a little bit down the previous one. There's a little bit going on about like, hey, you just want to be careful about a couple things. He also didn't throw a sweeper in this one, but it should return, moving forward. So don't worry about Pablo Lopez whatsoever. I am so stoked about Cole Reagans versus Pablo Lopez. Oh my gosh. That is opening day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. And yes, I will be live streaming 1 p.m. to midnight. I will be trying to do my SB roundup as the games go on to make myself a little saner that day. So that I can at least like do work as I'm doing it. But pretty much the entire day, save for like one little break between the 4 o'clock games and then the 7:30, I probably will still have the stream running. I just will be off the stage for a moment. But 1 p.m. to midnight, live baseball with me at playback.tv/pitcherlist. It is the best way to spend opening day. I know all of you are going to be watching those games anyway. At any point, you're like, okay, cool, I'm home. I just want to watch these games with people. Just come on by. That Pitcherlist channel, by the way, just really quickly, on playback.tv, we are trying to make that the forever baseball channel. That is, when you are wanting to watch a baseball game with a community, go to playback.tv/pitcherlist. I'm going to do everything I can to ensure that we have, if there's a game on, that stream is live, even if I'm not there. And we have such a great community here, like it's truly such an amazing pitcherless community, both on Playback and inside our Discord, that I believe we're going to be able to have just a community watch party all the time on playback.tv. Because what's so cool is that you in the chat, you can actually join the stream and give your audio and or video and watch it live with everybody else. So it's truly an amazing thing. It's why I've switched from Twitch to Playback. It's exactly what I've always wanted, this amazing community to watch these games. And of course, we are the community that does not call these players trash. We do not let our bad emotions out and using baseball as a medium to be, you know, treat people poorly. We don't do that. We watch it for the love of the game with positivity. If they are not doing well, they struggle. We're obviously frustrated, but we understand that they're just humans who are trying to do their best. And we just, it's the best place to watch baseball. So come on by playback.tv/pitcherlist. It's truly, I'm so excited for this year as we moved to it in July last year. Now we have a full year of it. Can't wait. Okay, sorry. Paulo Espino, 4 innings, 3 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. That was very quick. I apologize, but don't care about Paulo Espino. It might be Mitch White if Espino isn't the SB6. Could be Mitch White. Doesn't matter for the Jays. It's Bowden Francis. Bad matchups to start. We move on. Luis Gil. Oh, man. 3.1 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. His four-seamer is so good. And the biggest thing about Gil, well, it's really two things. One, can he go upstairs enough with that four-seamer? He needs to do it because of his attack angle with that four-seamer is very flat. So the lower it goes, the easier it's able to hit. If he keeps it upstairs, it's essentially Christian Javier with two secondaries that can go for strikes. Seriously, think about it this way. Luis Gil used to just be a four-seamer slider guy, and he wasn't very efficient because of that. Now he has a changeup. He's also throwing for strikes. This was 13 for 17 strikes. That's about I think I'm doing quick maths here, about 70% plus strike rate. So good on that changeup. And also 9 over 14 on a slider. We will take that all day. That's another 60%. That's great. Constant strikes, not needing to make it the four-seamer. Oh my gosh, it's a good team context. I really hope the Yankees do it. It could be Clayton Beater or Will Warren, though, as they don't have an SP5 right now. Maybe all of a sudden out of nowhere, the Yankees sign Snell or Jordan Montgomery. I don't know. Maybe it's a deferred deal for 2 years or something, so they don't go over the luxury tax. I have no idea. But yeah, Luis Gil is someone you should absolutely have on your radar, and I'm so curious what happens in the next week for the Yankees, because if Gil is at number 5, I am 100% signing up everywhere. He gets the Diamondbacks in that first start. If it's Will Warren or Clayton Beater, it's not the worst either. But Luis Gil is the one that is truly the excellent ceiling. Tarek Skubal, 4 innings, 3 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. He only threw 8 breakers in this one as he focused on four-seamers and changeups. But I should say, four-seamers and changeups are the two best pitches for Tarek Skubal, and he shouldn't allow 9 base runners in 4 innings with just that. That said, of course, if you are doing four-seamer changeup, they know that's coming. You can kind of dial in on that. And slider, curve are a necessity. The slider is still looking like the cutter, unfortunately, but he's at 97. So we love Tarek Skubal. Don't worry about this. And please, everybody, it is Tarek. I think Eric with a T. I heard a ton of Tyreek, and it's not it. And I know he doesn't like it. That's Tyreek. I would hate it too. People call me Nike or something like that. Like, I would hate that. It's just Nick. Okay. Mitch Keller, 4 innings, 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. Mitch Keller to me is an absolute pass inside of my leagues. I think he's too volatile. His command isn't good. He was throwing mostly four seamers in this one, and the cutter went 9% CSW. And yes, he had 3 whiffs on 8 sweepers, but the breakers are under 20% usage. It's just, Also, lower on his velocity, just at 94. Remember he threw 100.7 into that Tread video, or 100.9? Yeah, he topped out at 95.2 in this. So I am just not in for Mitch Keller. Bailey Falter, 2.2 innings of 5 earned runs and blah. And yeah, he's one of those like 10 options for the Pirates. And I just hope Jared Jones is the one who gets it. Colby Ellard is present with the Phillies, 1.2 innings of 0 earned runs. Sure. But Drala, come on, you're not going to be in the way of Mick Abel, right? Mick Abel's good. And I actually, at one point, I feel like I should put out an article for myself. I'm going to talk to, I think it's Rudy, who's going to be covering our stash article for the starting pitchers. I've made it a note to say, like, every week we are going to be aligned and have a chat to see, like, okay, cool. Are we on the same page about who should be stashed right now in your 12 teamers? Because I actually know things about prospects now, and it's amazing. And I hope that he's going to be teaching me, be like, hey, Nick, by the way, you should be focused on this guy. I'm like, oh, that's sweet. Awesome. And then we can have a conversation about who actually is worthwhile in your 12 teamers to be stashing. Mick Abel is in this third tier. And I say third, and then really it's like a second tier. It's just that Jackson Jobe and Skeens are just so far ahead of everybody else. Then you have Jared Jones in his own self as a two tier. Because he's actually like, yes, I am also very good. Like, he would be clear in a way from everybody else if it weren't for Skeens and Jobe. But then after that, it's a massive mix of, like, I think guys that could be productive, but it's not this, oh my gosh, you're incredible. Like, Ricky Tiedemann is in there, and I actually don't think he's that great. I think he's too volatile. Mick Abel is very solid, but he's not this, oh my gosh, whoa, this guy. Cade Horton could be there. I need to see more of him before I put him in the Jared Jones area. But he could be very good, but he doesn't have this 100 mile per hour fastball or something like that. Hurston Waldrep, he looks like a reliever to me because the mechanics are way too volatile. And he is a volatile pitcher and not a good command guy. And I do not want to go for prospect pitchers who have just innately bad command. I need to see electric stuff while you can also sequence. Because remember, prospects have a lower floor innately for being a prospect pitcher. Okay? It just, remember this. It's why I call it the shag rug. The young man's floor, because every rookie is going to go through more ups and downs than your typical veteran. It's just a brand new year in the season. They are going to go through adversity, and it's going to be harder for them to deal with that because they just don't have the experience of other guys. Not to say that they have to, but it's just a much higher probability of volatility. And thus, we need to ensure that if we're going to take chances on those, that they are much better than other options who won't be as volatile. You with me? They have to have electricity to strike a lot of guys, and they need to have command that suggests they can be efficient enough and not just completely Joe Boyle. So Connor Phillips isn't in that. Chase Petty kind of is, though. Like, Chase Petty looks better than Connor Phillips with all of this. I'm trying to think of other ones that really could make that kind of impact. I mean, there's Nick Nastrini, maybe. And I'm sure there are others that I'm forgetting right now as my voice is going a little bit. But Christian Scott, possibly. Mick Abel could be in that group as well. That's all I'm trying to get at. Okay, Max Meyer. I don't know if he has enough electricity, but yeah. Trevor Rogers is also here against the Marlins, 3.2 innings, for the Marlins, 3.2 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. We finally got Statcast data for Rogers, and not that weird, like, data that we got with the Mets. Unfortunately, the velocity instead of being 93-95 that we want from Trevor Rogers, it was 91-92. That said, it was a Blake Snell blueprint. He went top half and above. Really, the top half of the zone was red and yellow underneath for changeup and the slider, which is great. And you have this changeup going 7 for 19 whiffs, which is wonderful. So the slider was working last time, it worked again today. Now the changeup is working. Now we just need to see 93 miles per hour for Trevor Rogers to feel so good about it. I'm still in on it. He's going to get the Pirates first. I think this is a lovely get at the end of a draft. Way better than Pepio to me. This is really important. You should go for Trevor Rogers, see how that works instead of chasing Pepio. All right, we have more games here. We have Kyle Muller, 3 innings, 5 earned runs, 9 hits, blah, blah, blah. His velocity is down, his slider velocity is down. At least the slider is better with more whiff potential, but yeah, no. Kyle Freeland is a very sneaky early streamer, and I know that sounds crazy, but here's the thing. 5 innings of 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks, and yes, 5 for 71 whiffs overall. He is not this like, oh my gosh, Kyle Freeland. He is 3 to 4 ticks up. It was from sub 90, but at least like it's a better velocity fastball at like 92 now. And he's on the road for the first 2 starts in Arizona and in Wrigley. Not the greatest matchups, but that actually might work for NL only leagues. That's all I want to say, because I normally just say cool story, bro, with COL being Colorado. And that's going to be my blurb for pretty much all the Colorado Rockies pitchers this year in the SB Roundup. But at least Freeland is doing something that he looks as good as I've seen him for a while. So, yeah, that's kind of cool. And do not do this for 15 teamers, honestly. I wouldn't do that. I don't think so. I mean, it's a 2-start week. If you really need a 2-step, then maybe. But 12 teamers, absolutely not. And lastly, the games that we're not on StatCast, we did get TV for. Jordan Lyles is around, and he's not very good, but it means that Alec Marsh isn't doing it. Drew Smyly was there, and yeah, don't do that. You have Dalton Jeffries, 4 innings of 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. And if the Giants don't get Snell, and they don't get Jordan Montgomery, Dalton Jeffries is, to me, the SP 4 or 5 for the Giants. It does look like Wynn is also delayed again. I mean, if Wynn is still in there, Keaton Wynn, then, okay, this is the 5 for me. As Mason Black could be in there, it could also be Spencer Howard, who actually did well here, 4 innings of 0 earned runs, 0 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. But I think Dalton Jeffries is the guy that the Giants should go for if they need a 5th starter here outside of Wynn. So that's kind of interesting. However, he gets the Padres twice, or he gets the Dodgers plus Padres. No way am I recommending that. Just understand that that could happen. Tristan McKenzie went 3.2 innings of 3 earned runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. Not a good outing for McKenzie, but he's healthy and not walking everybody, and truly that's just what matters right now. And Ryan Nelson, 3.2 innings of 1 earned run, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. He's going to get the Yankees and Atlanta in this first 2 starts, so I am not interested. But for those deeper leagues, if Ryan Nelson gets back up to 96 and has that good cutter slash slider staying low, pay attention in those first 2 outings because he could be a pickup after that. Cody Bradford, 5 innings, 4 runs. He finally has the Rangers spot, and he finally actually like let himself go, it feels like. So Cody Bradford, we don't really care. And it could be Jack Leiter, 3 innings of 1 earned run, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 0 Ks, who could replace him as the season goes on, or really feels like Leiter is the SP6 almost for the Rangers. Maybe that's Jose Urania. But Leiter should show up this year, and I really hope he impresses us in April. He's in that 3rd tier, possibly. Not yet. He hasn't quite hit his ceiling. He looked really good in September of last year, but I need to really see Jack Leiter being electric and good. And we know the potential is there, but I don't want to assume it will at this point. Chad Kuhl and Jake Woodford, otherwise known as the Amish Mustang, both of them had non-roster invitations for the White Sox. We know it's a very weird end of the rotation. Could be Nastrini, could be Thorpe, which would be so exciting, but it could be Chad Kuhl, 2.2 innings of 300 runs, because the White Sox go, whatever, we just need innings. It's not going to be Woodford. 3.2 innings of 700 runs and 9 hits. Like, that's just not going to happen. But either way, we don't care about this. Jacob Junis, 4.2 innings of 300 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. He shouldn't be in the rotation for the Brewers. He might, but we don't care. Joe Boyle, 4 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 5 strikeouts. He is a wild command arm. I still can't forget. He had 0 walks in his first 2 games, and someone put out a fake tweet about like him throwing only strikes in a game, which is wrong. They're just misreading the game data. And I think it sent everyone in a craze, and no, that was 4 innings. Joe Boyle has horrific mechanics that are always going to make him so volatile and without any command. And until he stops going max effort with everything and actually tries to slow things down to get command, he will not be a sustainable starting pitcher. It's just how it is. Ben Brown also has kind of a volatile delivery. 4 innings of 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. And that's 4 innings for Ben Brown. And remember, without Caleb Killian there, Tayden Wesneski is the SP6 right now with Assad and Smiley, and there really isn't anything else save for Cade Horton. So I imagine the Cubs are going to use Ben Brown as a reliever, but if they're stretching him out more, he might actually turn into more of that swingman with Wisniewski. They might piggyback if they need it. They don't right now, but they might. Well, actually, they might with Jameson Taillon dealing with his thrown out back. I hope he's all right. I need to get an update on Taillon, but that's something at least to think about with Ben Brown. You have Jose Soriano, 3.1 innings of one earned run, three hits, with two walks and four Ks. By the way, Ben Brown, it's a fastball slider. I don't trust him to actually be dominant if he does go six innings or something like that, or gets a rotation spot. I don't really think that's going to happen. Jose Soriano is really like the SP 6 or 7 for the Angels. I need to see more data on him, but really mid-90s to upper 90s velocity, which is interesting, and we'll see. I don't really think much of Jose Soriano. Luis Castillo did great things and we're cool there. Charlie Morton, 5 innings of 3 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. It's cool. It's fine. If you get Morton, go for it, I guess. I don't trust his ratios. It's just a big curveball these days, and the other stuff is getting worse and worse every year. But it is Atlanta, and that's a very good situation. And look, he will likely get a good matchup here and there. Like, he gets possibly the Phillies, or maybe even actually the White Sox to start, because he's probably the SP4. Gets the White Sox, that's kind of great. And then he'll get the Diamondbacks. So I'm fine with that if he just falls in your drafts. And then there's Jared Jones, of course. 4 innings, 0 earned runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. I just hope he starts. It's just there's Domingo Herman, who was signed, and then Eric Lauer, and Ronzi Contreras, and Billy Falter, and Quinn Priester. And the thing is, the fourth and fifth rotation spots are technically open. Luis Ortiz, we've been assuming, is the SP4, but we don't quite know. And maybe Jones is one of those two with Herman. I really just hope Herman is not involved. I hate that the Pirates signed him. Ugh, just go away. Eric Lauer, whatever, I don't know. Spec add Jared Jones right now, because if he does start, my gosh, that's awesome. And the last games here, we have George Kirby, 5 innings of 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. Nothing to do with that one, whatever. Kirby, it's spring. Who cares? Emerson Hancock got knocked around a bit in 2 innings. He's a Toby. When he does come up for the Mariners, he also has been delayed this year, so don't think twice about this start. He is a sinker, sweeper, changeup guy, and there is something to like about that as a Toby. I generally think he's a good command guy too. So when he does show up this year to be replacement for the Mariners as the SP6 essentially, or 7, that might be decent for your squads. Nick Lodolo, 2.2 innings of 1 run, 4 Ks for base runners. He's going to start on April 10th, hosting the Brewers in Cincy, which I don't want. But because he's going to be in the IL to start the year, I'm totally fine having him in the IL spot, because that's also a quick return on that. And just don't start him against the Brewers in the first start, okay? You probably want to wait one just to see how everything is and then go from there. I'll take advantage of that. Cooper Criswell, 4 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. He's the SP6 for the Red Sox, and I don't think he's much. And then you have JP France, 2.1 innings of 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. He's actually mentioned he wants to get back to his strikeout stuff of the minors. He's delayed right now. He also is going to get the Yankees and the Rangers in his first two starts, and I don't want to do that. So JP France is someone to pick up during the year. He's likely going to be on your waiver wire, and he pitches for the Astros, and that's a cool thing. With Urquidy hurt, France is going to get the SP5 spot once Verlander does return. In the meantime, he's the SP4 with Ronel Blanco as the number 5. Bad matchups for Blanco. We're not touching that. And then two studs. We have Freddy Peralta, 5 innings of 1 run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. Much better for Peralta. We hope that he can find his rhythm with his arsenal and all that kind of stuff, but that's cool. And you have Burns, who feels like it's the same team, but it's not. It's the Orioles, who hasn't been good this spring. 300 runs in 5 innings. Obviously, we're not going to do anything different, but yeah, can you just give us one really good start? All right, that is it for today. Oh man, 30 minutes? Jeez, okay. I'll try to make the next one quicker. I don't have much time, but that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, go, go!
With Erleada, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleada is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erlita may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erlita can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erlita is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erlita.com. CP43-9267-V1.
Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you need to summarize your class notes or want to create a recipe with the ingredients you already have in your fridge, Meta AI has the answers. You can also research topics, explore interests, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.